The Valerie Bertinelli texts are rolling in the 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. One day at a time was Valerie Bertinelli.
So she was not in Facts of Life.
No. Jeff and Monroe, Randy and Greendale all saying one day at a time for Valerie Bertinelli, which I've never heard of one day at a time.
Yeah, I don't know that show at all. I don't know Facts of Life other than the theme song. I've not watched it.
And you really only got like 50% of the theme song, right, when you were first singing it.
Yeah, it's 75%, but yeah.
The 11 o'clock hour, Wilde and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. Jason still on his staycation. He returns to us on Wednesday, although he did join us to start the show today, reacting to the breaking news of the morning. Ed Policy set to succeed Mark Murphy as Packers president and CEO in July 2025, officially announced by the team earlier this morning. If you missed Jason's commentary on it, you can find it on Apple, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, our video stream on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. I want to get back to Jordan Love conversation because, Tausch, you heard something this morning from Evan Cohen on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, who will join us tomorrow this week. Change of schedule this week for Evan. He'll be joining us tomorrow on the show. Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst, joined the crew this morning. Let's hear what Evan asked Damian Woody and then how that question was answered. And then I want to find out from you what is so fascinating to you about this commentary. Here is Damian Woody joining Evan Cohen and Michelle Schmalman on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio this morning.
Damian, let's finish with this. If I told you right now you could sign one of these two players, only one of them, to a five-year, $300 million deal with $220 million guaranteed, and your choices were either Dak Prescott or Jordan Love, who would you take?
Ooh. Give me Jordan Love.
Why?
Because I think Jordan Love is more dynamic. I think he's a more dynamic player. And I think Dak Prescott is a great player, but I think Jordan Love has more upside than Dak Prescott. And that's what you're paying for. You're paying for what do you think a guy can be moving forward. We might already plateaued with – I don't know how much better Dak Prescott can be. I know Jordan Love has a lot more runway left in him.
Damian Woody this morning on Unsportsmanlike.
It's just been really interesting for me to hear the national folks who aren't biased. I mean, I think all of us can sit here and we cover this team exclusively, you know, intensely. And we know a lot, probably more than you should. And what we saw from Jordan Love last year was impressive to us. I was curious how other people viewed it. And, you know, Damian's been working in national media now for years. Greg Cosell, I don't know if there's anybody that watches more film or studies it without any of the other stuff. And he said on Friday, top three, top four guy in the league now. For Damian Woody to say, Dak Prescott has established himself as one of the top quarterbacks. He was an MVP candidate last year. I think Dallas's offense was top two in the league. Didn't lose a home game until the playoffs against the Green Bay Packers. When you make that statement, it wasn't like he paused for a while and had a hem and haw. Potential is a big part of it. But Dak Prescott's, in his mind, best days probably have happened already. Jordan Love is just scratching the surface. And I think that when you hear that and you see that from other people that are covering the league, looking at it from a national perspective, I found that very interesting. And by the way, 100% agree with him. And when you look at you're going to be paying Dak 60 and Jordan probably in the mid-50s, you even feel that much better about that because you know Dak is probably right about here. Jordan Love is on the ascent. If he's at Valley Fair in the old wooden rickets,
oh, we're back
he's
to Valley
just
Fair
again. Climbing. He has not reached the down where it's fun and everything else. He's still climbing the that's where he's at right now.
You ever been to Cedar Point out near Cleveland,
I have not.
Ohio?
I heard it's fantastic, but no.
A lot of good roller coasters.
That's what I've heard.
Cedar Point. I'm actually going to Cedar Point this Saturday.
What?
So that'll be timely. Epic. I can give you a review, an extensive review next week.
What Perfect. I love about Cedar Point is like it's on this like peninsula, like you like to say, on Lake Erie.
Okay.
But they have like a resort type deal. So you can like stay across the way. So what we did, we stayed at this resort. You went in the morning, rode the roller coasters, get hot at 2 in the afternoon, go back to the resort, go to the pool. And then you come back and you go out to the roller coasters till like midnight. Had a great time when we did that a few years ago at Cedar Point. Better than Valley Fair,
nice.
I imagine.
Okay.
I think you said something incorrect.
Okay, what did I say?
I don't think Dak Prescott is viewed as one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. I think it starts with his own fan base. I don't think Cowboys fans appreciate what Dak Prescott has done. I think because he hasn't won games in the postseason, like obviously Mahomes, but Joe Burrow, even Josh Allen, I'm trying to think of if there's any NFC quarterbacks. Like Matthew Stafford, I think, now gets a better rep than Dak Prescott does because he's won in the postseason, won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. I don't think Dak Prescott is viewed favorably across the league as being one of the top quarterback talents. He was great last year for a huge stretch of the season because they lost to Jordan Love and the Packers in the first round of the playoffs and they got beat up the way that they did and Dak didn't play well. He's viewed as a guy who doesn't play well in the big games. I don't think he's viewed as one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And so when Damian Woody says this, I think it's more an indictment of Dak Prescott than it is an endorsement of Jordan Love. And I think that's a product of the Cowboys coming up short time and time again in the postseason. In first, like, they don't win playoff games.
Both things can be true. It can be an indictment on Dak, but Dak Prescott, you don't have to agree that he's, if you are ranking NFC quarterbacks on just what they've accomplished, not what they're going to, Dak Prescott would be at the top of the list. I know you say Matthew Stafford, because he's got a Super Bowl, he'd be there in that mix too. He's played a long time, but Dak has had some of the best offenses. His stats are really good, and last year was his best season. So I agree with some of your sentiment on that, but that if you're just looking at production, I think it would be Dak. But that's not what you're looking at, and you're asking if you had to sign one of these two guys, who would it be? And I would bet even the Dallas Cowboys would say we'd rather have the younger Jordan Love than Dak at this point in his career. He's had a busted ankle. He's, you know, beat up, doesn't move like he used to. All of those things can factor in. But when you're ranking NFC quarterbacks, Dak Prescott would be in your top three.
Would you have him ahead of Jordan Love?
What I'm saying is that's how you would rank them right now. I think Jordan Love has a chance to be the best quarterback in the NFC this year. I don't even know who I'd put ahead of him right now. As far as potential and who with the team that you have coming back, I think everybody's going to say Brock Purdy. Would you say Jalen Hurts? I'm not going to. I think Jalen Hurts struggled a lot last year. Now, was he healthy? He needs to have the dual threat. He needs to be able to run. Jordan doesn't need that part of it. It's nice that he can if he needs to, but that's not how he kind of got his stripes last year. Who are you putting ahead of him? I'm not going to put Dak ahead of him. I don't know who that quarterback in the NFC I'm putting ahead of Jordan Love at this point. I don't know if there's anyone I'd rather have leading my football team in the NFC than Jordan Love.
Can I throw a name at you that I don't believe would be better than Jordan Love, but I think many would say could be this year?
Sure.
Caleb Williams.
I mean, you can say that.
With the,
you'd be saying
with
it the same
talent
way
they
as
have
last
around him, the stats that he could put up, they don't have film on him yet outside of what he's done at USC, which isn't going to be the same as what he's doing with the Bears. They've got this whole new collection of talent there. Say what you will about Bears going to bear, I still think that they're going to be a sneaky team that gives a lot of teams a run for their money. They're playing a weak schedule this year. I think Caleb Williams could lead the Bears to a playoff berth. And if
that's
he does
not
that,
what you're
I think.
Asking. That's not
but if
what...
but if he does that, I think people will say, "Wow, look at Caleb Williams! In 1 year, he took a franchise that was dead in the water, and look what he revitalized it. And they're a playoff team
yeah,
now,
and
it's all thanks to him. Number one
could
pick.
Happen, but there's not one person, including any executives with the Bears, that would put Caleb Williams ahead of Jordan Love right now. They just wouldn't.
I don't know if that's true.
Wow.
Like
unless you just
they're saying he's the next Andrew Luck. He's a slam dunk number one pick.
You have to prove it. And I know we need more proof from Jordan Love at this point, but we've seen enough to know that he is going to be a big-time quarterback in this league. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to have some pitfalls and things aren't going to go his way. But Caleb Williams hasn't taken a snap. And you can be John Elway and Peyton Manning and everybody else. You still got to go out and do it. And until he does something of that ilk, I think that's just – I mean, I just think that's a foolish statement.
Again, I don't believe it, but I could see why that argument would be made. I think Jordan Love's better than Caleb Williams. So I just want to make sure my stance is clear there. We're talking Dak Prescott compared to Jordan Love because that's who Damian Woody was asked by Evan Cohen to compare earlier today. What do you think of the numbers that he dove into there, by the way? 220 guaranteed, 5 years, 300 mil.
I mean, I think $60 million is going to be a little bit out of space for Jordan, but I think it's going to be closer to 60 than it is 50. And how much guaranteed? That's the part. Injury guarantee. I trust Russ Ball that he's going to get structure the way he wants it, and the money will probably be the way Jordan wants it. That's what I'm hoping for as a Packer fan. I think 60 is going to be where Dak probably comes in. But my question will be next year, if he plays this season out, which by all accounts it looks like the Cowboys are saying, let's just play this out and let Dak become an unrestricted free agent, is there going to be a team that's going to pay him $60 million plus if they don't have playoff success this year? I would not want to be that team. I'll just put it that way.
Probably be pretty fed up if you were that team that was paying that much for a quarterback who wasn't performing.
Very, very frustrating.
Yeah, someone else is a little fed up, according to reports from your guy, Dove Kleiman. I wonder who it could be.
We'll have less sleep and we'll be grumpy.
Yeah, it could be anybody. We'll talk about who that mystery person is that's irritated with what his owner is doing leading his team. That's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Today on Wilde and Tausch, Jason did join us earlier to talk about Ed Policy succeeding Mark Murphy in July 2025 as Packers president and CEO. If you missed it, find the full podcast, Apple, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand, the YouTube channel, wherever you get your podcasts. Tausch, you sent this over to me. Dove Kleiman, your guy on Twitter.
Yeah, I still haven't figured out if Dove sold his Twitter account. I don't know who Dove even is, but Dove puts out he gives us the goods. He's almost as good of an aggregator as Mike Florio. They both are the kings of aggregation.
Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy is reportedly getting, quote, fed up with Jerry Jones undermining him.
Yeah, it's such a tough job, and it's interesting. I did not know, obviously, that Ed Policy was going to be named today. I figured he'd be named sometime before the 22nd because then they can bring Ed out and introduce him to the fan base. But it just continues to reiterate the point. I had plenty of fans and friends during the time I played and then really when I started doing this say how much of a disadvantage Packer fans are that they don't have an owner that can just say, override, we're going to spend this money, we're going to do this, and have that unilateral, I can accomplish this because it's my squad. And I disagreed vehemently, and if I ever needed to prove my point, I would point at Jerry Jones. I would point at, you can look at Bob Kraft and everything else. There's different ownership, there's different owners, but I don't want a ton of ego at the top. And I don't want a ton of ego that thinks that they know better, that they know better than Jimmy Johnson after you won two championships with him because you weren't feeling like you got your shine. And look at what's happening now. It's been since 96. I don't even know how many playoff wins they've had in that time. And it's directly because of ego. So, yes, is there a positive or two that maybe I'm missing? Yeah, probably. But in the grand scheme of things, the reason that the Packers organization is strong is because There's not a ton of ego. There's let's find really good people that are going to do their jobs really well. And that's why people want to work there. You don't have the meddlesome owner. You have a group of people that are saying, what can I do to help this team win? What can I bring? Whether it's I'm a salesperson, I need to bring in revenue so that we can build these new facilities and we can get every newest piece of technology. We can have a Jumbotron out at practice so we can coach in real time off of the screen. You know, we have these new, you know, new underground parking. Everything that you want to make sure players have no excuses. This, with what Dallas does, there's, I don't like what Mike McCarthy said. Well, I'll just go to Jerry. Oh, I don't like that I didn't get this new deal. I'll just go to Jerry. And when you have that divisiveness in your leadership, it's going to be really difficult to win anything. And that's what the Cowboys are finding out.
So we talked about this when Mike McCarthy was hired as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, matter of fact, when Mike came up to the trio during his press era tour when he was, took the year off.
I remember it well.
I remember asking him point blank, would you work for Jerry? And I think in his heart of hearts, he knew that this was part of the deal. But at that point, he just wanted a job. Because you get to that age, and he obviously had some press stuff that wasn't great for him. And he found his way to get back in the NFL. He's done a really good job with the Cowboys. Has he done enough? I think this is going to be his last year there.
So they were 6-10 in his first season. They have been 12-5 every year since.
Yeah, he's won a lot of games. He's won the division. He's put a really good team out. He's a good football coach. But he was kind of this position where he didn't get any of the other jobs. He interviewed for a bunch of jobs during that cycle, and this was the one that he landed on. And he knew what he was getting into. He understood this whole thing, and I think, to credit, I think Stephen Jones is actually pretty good. I think Jerry allows his ego to get in the way, and when you have an ego yourself and you don't get to dictate how things are done, that's why Bill Parcells, you know, didn't last a ton of time down there. It's really a difficult environment to win in consistently when you're fighting that battle off the field and having to deal with Jerry's comments and how his stuff on his radio show goes. It becomes overwhelming, and the pressure's on. This Mike's final year of his deal. I don't think he's going to get another one unless he wins in a really high level in the playoffs. And we'll see. I mean, Dallas will have a good squad, but you could tell already, I don't think these reports come out of nowhere that Mike is feeling a little frustrated.
So we had talked when he first took the job of, like, if anyone is going to be able to handle working underneath Jerry Jones, we thought Mike McCarthy would be one of the best candidates to do so, because he's a tenured, you know, Super Bowl champion head coach. He's been around, you know, forever, so he's got the experience. He can, you know, handle that adversity, that situation. Is it simply that they haven't won enough in the playoffs, and that's why this is starting to boil over? Like, if they make the NFC Championship last year, if they win against the Packers, they go to Detroit and beat the Lions and lose to San Francisco in the NFC Championship game. You think we're having the same conversation that, yeah, McCarthy's fed up?
I do. If he doesn't get a new deal, I do think so. And I think coaches can understand how things work. Coaches don't go into the last year of their deal very often. Very rarely. Mike Tomlin was going to. He just signed a new deal. If they value you, they're going to pay you. It's just like a quarterback. And that's how Dak probably feels. Mike and Dak probably are super aligned as far as how they view what's going on in Dallas. And, you know, unfortunately for Mike, I don't think things are going to change. I don't think it's going to be stability and everything else. I think this is your, as Evan Cohen on Unsportsmanlike said, this is going to be your last dance before your first dance. And unfortunately, I think that's where the Cowboys are at.
And one more question on Mike McCarthy. If this is his last year as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, as you have continued to predict this entire offseason, do you think he gets another job?
No.
You think he's done as a head coach in the NFL?
I do.
And he's working with us next year?
He'll be working with somebody. He's obviously got a ton. And, you know, maybe he'll have a sour taste in his mouth about how it goes. But I do think you get to a certain point. You have other things that you're going to do. Maybe I'll be completely wrong about that, but I think unless things go swimmingly and the Cowboys open up the floodgates to continue on, I just don't imagine. I don't know how this season's going to go in a positive light when you have as much uncertainty as they do with some of their key players.
seems like it could be set up for disaster this year. Or maybe they'll go 12-5 again and win the division and have a home playoff.
They definitely
playoff
have a lot of talent. It's just whether is CeeDee Lamb going to play if you don't pay him? Is you know, Dak will. Is Parsons going to? There's just a ton of questions that I don't think have great answers to them.
All right. Now, is it IPT for me to say if Mike McCarthy ends up not having a job after this year, there's always the option that he could participate in a study with Fortrea?
It is IPT. I will not go down that route. But if you are looking to get to a Cowboys game, if you're looking to go to Brazil, if you're looking to do anything up at Lambeau, you need a little extra spending cash. Fortrea's got you covered. And another couple big studies here. Healthy men, age 18 to 55. BMI, 19. It's been 18 for a while. We're up to 19 to 32. Study involves one stay, and this is, again, all that variance. 51 to 101 nights, which is no joke, with one follow-up call. And wow. Get this, you can be paid all the way from $19,273 all the way up to $32,973 for your study-related time and participation. If you refer a friend, another $300. So can go all the way from $19,273 to $32,973, which is fantastic. Head to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
Riley Yauch is our cousin sub of the day, producing today's show with us here in the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison. We have barely heard from him throughout this show. Riley takes over next. Whoa, Riley, featuring Bachelor Party Weekend. Can't wait to dive into it. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So Matt Coonan has texted in, and again, these
he's
are
making
all
a good push.
He is. Like,
he's a heavy favorite to be one of the initial Hoffers, in my opinion. I'm not the one making that decision.
I wonder if Jason was helping plan Wilde and Tausch Hall of Fame festivities during his staycation here.
Oh, I'm
here
sure that's
a
big part of what he was doing. I know Oshkosh has a lot of busts that they can look at and try to figure that out.
A lot of strip mall space available for rent to be able to host the in-person exhibits for the Wilde and Tausch.
Well, no, we're going to do the exhibit up at the Trio. I
mean, oh, that's where it's going to be?
For sure, yeah.
Okay. Have we talked to anyone about that?
Yeah. No, I have.
Good. Matt Coonan shares Blair from the Facts of Life, who, again, I have no idea. Facts of Life, One Day at a Time, Valerie Bertinelli, not a clue. Blair from the Facts of Life was a finalist in Survivor Season 25.
Oh, I don't even want to get into Survivor. I finally watched the finale last night.
So, didn't it end like a month and
I know,
a half
well, it's
ago?
It's been a busy, goofy stretch, and I watched it.
So with no Game 7 last night, you watched the Survivor finale from 2 months ago.
We watched the finale, and a lot of disappointment with our girl Maria, who deserved to win the game. I don't know how many people are Survivor fans, so I'm not going to go
there. Spoiler alert.
Well, it's been 2 months. Maria deserved to win. She got by old boy Charlie, and then instead of giving the thumbs up attaboy to Charlie, she went against him because she got even though she tried to get him. And that vote swayed it and ended up giving it to, I can't remember, Kenzie, I think her name was, that won it. Kenzie was played a good game too, but like it really soured me, and I went from being a huge Maria fan because she's a great competitor. Great competitors tip their cap to other competitors.
So I have not watched Survivor since the pandemic, when they had like the all-star winners all compete against each other, and it was an awesome season. It was fantastic.
I actually went and told, because Eleanor and Max have both gotten into it now, not enough that we actually watch it on time, and we didn't probably even watch any episodes.
7 weeks later, you get around to it when you can.
And we both said if there was one of the person who actually thought she was going to win, if she won the game, I said we'll never watch the show again. And it turns out she couldn't build fire and whatever. So.
Wow.
But then we started looking. Well, I made the claim, and if it happens, we're done, because you know I could be a stubborn mule when it comes to certain things, and I would have been stubborn about this. But disappointing.
So
disappointing.
This really comes back to the old adage, or not adage, what's the debate? Like, the team that beats you in the playoffs, do you want them to go on and win the championship, or do you want to see them lose right away the next game? Like, if you're the Packers and you lose, or the Cowboys last year, since we're talking Cowboys this hour, Cowboys lose to the Packers, would they have felt better if the Packers go on and win the Super Bowl? Or do you think they're upset or when they lose and they say, oh, let's just see the Packers get beat by San Francisco next week?
It's totally different. Like, it's not a good corollary. I don't care once I get beat. I'm not the one voting and actually saying, yeah, I think the Cowboys deserve to win the championship or the Lions.
As a fan of the team, as you're voting team, for whether you want that team to win or not.
I don't want San Francisco. I'd rather somebody that I don't see and that doesn't make me as painful.
Riley, how would you do on Survivor?
I've never watched Survivor. I was gonna ask, how does it work? How do you win Survivor?
Oh boy.
So you get
you survive?
Have to get to the final three, and then the people you vote out vote for who they think is the most deserving to win.
It's a jury.
It's a beautiful game. Like, it really is. It's a great psychological study in human behavior.
Okay.
It's a great game.
So you got to simultaneously survive and also have people like
you. You have to have
like
enough relationships to say, I respect the fact that they got so-and-so out.
Okay. Oh, no. Jana in Pittsburgh. OMG. Spoilers, Tausch. I'm even further behind than you.
Oh, my bad, Jana. Oh, my. I didn't think it was possible to be further behind because we actually thought I was just going to delete the whole thing. And it's like, no, we're watching it. My bad, Jana. That is
on
me.
You ruined Survivor
7 weeks ago. Show it.
Don't tell her about the Facts of Life series finale either.
I'm not going to get into Dallas's finale because I don't remember what happened.
Time now for Whoa, Riley.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Alrighty, as Jesse has already alluded to, I was at a bachelor party this past weekend, which ended up being a good time. And before I get into the story, because it's a little long-winded, the question at the end was, do you guys have any good bachelor party stories to share with our listening audience?
Yes! One of my buddies, we went to a rooftop at Wrigley for one of the bachelor parties that I had. I had two. And it was fantastic. I don't even remember who they played. We played wiffle ball out down on the street. And then we went and just had Coors Light upon Coors Light up on the top. And we actually got scolded because we were shaking dice in a corner up at the rooftop during a day game. As the game was going, we were kind of having some fun with, does the ball stop on the mound? Every inning you have a little wager.
Yep.
So that would be what I would tell you on air was a really fun. There was also bridge loans and some other stuff that happened that I'm not going to go down that road with you. But yes, to answer your question.
The most recent bachelor party I went to was for Tier 1 Dave over Labor Day weekend. And we went golfing on Friday morning into the afternoon, went to our place, we had a pretty good day. More than three quarters of the group is in a fantasy football league that I'm not in. So they did their draft at night and everyone's just, starting to get out of their mind type territory. Yep. I ended up going upstairs and going to bed at like 7 o'clock and had a wonderful time and I was well rested for the next day. So that's where I'm at on the bachelor party front. Everyone else is up till 2 a.m. trying to do an incoherent fantasy football draft.
I don't know if
draft.
There could be anything
I went
more
to bed and had a great
on brand.
I got after it during the day. I went to bed when I got tired. I was ready to go
at
Saturday.
7 o'clock on a bachelor party.
That is something else.
It's not even remotely surprising.
And it was like a month into having our dog at home, so it was a great reprieve of like, okay, the dog was a little puppy. Getting
and
up
nobody
all the time.
Even thought about like shaving your eyebrows
or the Sharpie mustache.
I mean,
or
it turns
anything
out
like that.
They ended up taking an Uber and going somewhere, and they all like, how'd you not wake up when we got home at 3 a.m? I'm like, well, I was out. I was exhausted.
Did you do anything else fun like during the day?
Yeah, we went golfing. The next day we did a bar crawl around Green Bay. We had a beautiful
Riley,
place.
Can you tell us? I mean,
please?
Did you end up going to sleep at 6 o'clock?
Let's hear about yours.
No, we
did. So Jesse played bingo, won a couple hanger stakes in a meat raffle, and then took a night-night.
Yeah, no, we did not do that. So our initial plan this weekend was to go camping out at Governor Dodge State Park. Great place. Unfortunately, due to the weather, the integrity of our tents did not survive.
Yeah.
They were a little submerged, so we had to bail on the camping in the middle of a torrential downpour.
I don't think you can bail. When you commit to camping, you have to fight through.
That's a whole other question. But
I don't think camping should be a bachelor party.
Pools of water. We had like an inch of standing water in the bottom of our tent.
There were like tornado warnings.
Not out there.
It was a bad weekend
down here.
No, so that's the thing. So then Saturday we go home, we sleep inside. It ended up being fun, but my friend really wanted to go golfing. So Saturday afternoon we hit the links. I think it was Glen Park, the public course here in Madison. It's phenomenal, phenomenal course. It starts out really
sunny.
Start
giving out free advertising? Is that something we do?
Riley
now?
Is.
Sorry, if
we
I like something.
We golfed at a nice golf course.
Okay, there we go. We golfed at a nice golf course. We've done a partnership there. I remember back when I was an intern. Anyways, besides the point, it was sunny when we started. Gorgeous weather. Gorgeous weather. We get to hole two, overcast. We start checking our phones.
I don't know what world you live. Saturday sucked.
No, it was sunny when we were on the when
it was
we started
sunny
golfing.
For a portion of the day.
There was chunk of time when it was sunny.
Okay.
So then we get to the second hole. We start seeing there's tornado watches. It gets overcast. The humidity increases to about 100%. We get to hole three, start to hear the rumbles of thunder. You can start to see lightning strikes in the distance. Tornado sirens start going off. We're like, okay, what's going on here? Check the radar, straight red. And we're like, okay, this isn't looking good. Maybe we can get a few more holes in, though. So then we get to hole four. And we get to the fourth hole green. And now we see these clouds in the distance. I should have downloaded the picture and put it on the screen. We see these really low, giant clouds just rushing towards us. Huge, dark, frightening clouds. And as I'm about to tap in my putt for bogey on the fourth green, the guy comes sprinting out of the clubhouse yelling, "You guys got to get the hell out of here. There's a tornado coming. You got to go." And right as he's running out, we get the cold breeze. Like the temperature drops like 15 degrees. And then there's literally like we see the funnel cloud right there. And we're like, oh, shoot, we got to get out of here. We take off. We make it home, we drive through the storm, and then obviously all hell broke loose. The tornado wasn't it like north of Wanakee or something like that, or Watertown? I forget
exactly
where it was.
Yeah, it's kind of up in this general area, yeah.
Yeah, but that, so thankfully we survived.
Wouldn't you stay in the clubhouse and like go in the basement? Like,
yeah, why should you drive home? That
if you
seem
see
like
a
the
funnel
right
cloud,
move.
You don't jump in a car and drive to, unless you're on the show Twister or a storm
what if
chaser.
We wanted to chase
your
it down.
Butt You wanted
no, you
to
did.
Chase
you said you went home.
Why don't you just stay out and golf and watch it then if you're really a nut?
I don't know. Why? We felt safe in the car. It
why did you ignore all the signs prior to the guy yelling
in the
out?
Car, but the
we were close. It's like a mile and a half away from our house. We figured we could make it, and we did.
You sound like a bunch of idiots.
Yeah. Well,
and by the way, the only thing that I took away from that is long-winded.
Yeah,
you did.
I told
the
you.
Long-winded
thank you.
Part.
That's why I
but
wanted you guys to go first.
You gave dazzling details. The storm
thank
cloud
you.
Is doing this. The guy came and screamed, "You idiots, get out of there!" Da, da, da. But then you don't stay in the clubhouse. You decide, "I'm just going to drive in the middle of a twister."
Yep.
All right.
But then we survived. The weather cleared up, and we went on a bar crawl that evening.
Oh,
it was
great.
A fantastic night.
Yeah.
Great bachelor
great.
Party.
All stories have happy endings.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
Better than camping? Did it end up being better
than camping? Oh, 100% better than sleeping in a soaking wet, muddy tent and getting demolished by mosquitoes all weekend.
I'd even argue, like, from my perspective, even if it was clear weather all weekend, the plan you ended up doing, aside from the tornado experience, better than a camping weekend bachelor party.
I would agree.
I would make that assumption.
Personally, I'm not a huge camper. The groom-to-be is more of a camper, so we were all like, yeah, we'll thug it out. And then when he was like, no, we're bailing, we're like, okay, we're out.
Sounds like a hell of a deal.
Taush, so what's your... Do you have a good
not
camping
that.
Story? Or like, you
yeah,
a big camper?
Actually, I do. Sarah and I went, and our boy Benny, way back in the day, did a blind date overnight camping trip.
No.
Yes, it
wow.
was fantastic. I could not have been more entertained.
That's a horrible blind date.
Is it, or it's a great blind date? There's no.
I guess it depends.
Benny is a boomer bust cat, and he, I think, somehow boomed. It ended up busting, but it was a boom at least for a little bit. And by the way, when I do that, which I'll never do again, I am now I like hiking. I like sleeping in a nice, comfortable bed. I'm not interested in that life
anymore. You've retired from camping.
I had never really. I mean, we did camp, but I decided we were going to catch fish, cook them, and have like a can of beans that you cook over an open fire, like you see on Dallas and some of these old westerns.
Oh, of course.
Yes, I want to be. If I'm going to do it, I want to do it.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah didn't really want to do that. Benny didn't, and Benny's blind date didn't. So halfway through, all of a sudden, I'm like, where did Ben and his blind date go? They went to, like, Walmart to go grab and all kinds of food. I'm like, that's not what we're doing. So I said, I'm not doing that.
Well, it's their blind date. Let them do what they want to do.
We didn't catch any fish. By the way, I think they ended up sleeping in their truck. Sarah and I stayed in the tent.
Oh, so how do you sleep in a truck if it's not a camper?
I don't know how they did it. I don't think the campsite was real happy about it. I think there was a warning put on his window. I don't know how all that shook out. But if you want to talk a first date blind date camping trip, and I know Sarah and I had a good time.
I would never. Absolutely never.
I wouldn't expect you to.
Wouldn't be my first choice, but I'd give it a shot, I guess.
That's it for Woe Riley with the long-winded bachelor party adjustment plan.
Yes.
Taking center stage. Thank you, Riley. Yeah, he's back tomorrow, Tausch producing. You excited about that?
Hey, he nailed the facts of life thing. He's had a good day. He talks a lot less than the typical producer on this show.
Hey!
So, well, he does.
See, when I'm long-winded, I preface that I'm going to be long-winded.
We'll check in on the responses to
that
Mark.
That was tornado-style long-winded, though.
I was wondering if you were going to get a tornado long-winded reference in there. Nicely done.
Don't get it twisted.
Your final thoughts on the legacy of Mark Murphy. As news came out today, Ed Policy will replace Mark Murphy as Packers president and CEO in July of 2025. A couple more of your texts to comb through to close out today's show. Coming up next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
So the big news of the day was Mark Murphy being replaced by Ed Policy.
I think fans probably care more about Jordan Love getting married than Ed Policy.
So I wanted to get to two texts here to close out with some engagement story debacles from fans. One on the text line, one on the YouTube comments.
Okay.
So we were talking about Jordan Love got engaged in Italy. And I said, I don't know about the traveling with the ring situation. So here's one on the text line. Adam in Oregon traveled to Napa Valley to get engaged. I've never had my bag mistakenly taken off a plane except for this trip with the ring inside.
Oh, you don't put the ring up top. You got to keep it on your person.
I had to run off the plane to chase the guy down the sky gate. My wife now was very confused why I was so stressed. Also planted the photographer is a must.
Yeah, you don't want your bag taken regardless, though. So I don't think that shouldn't have sent off like any red flags.
Right, but I do recall when we went to Washington, D.C., I made sure I had the ring in my pocket the entire time. The only thing I was worried about was getting on the plane and like having to make sure that it wasn't visible. I think I put it in the bag to go through security, then took it out, put it in my pocket for the rest of the time. Because he wanted to make sure
it's
that
tricky.
It's
very stressful. I understand it's very stressful. Yeah.
And then Joe in the YouTube comments said he went to Paris and saw someone.
Oh, oui, oui.
He saw someone else proposing, dropped the ring on a bridge, and it fell off the bridge into the water.
Hopefully you had insurance.
That's your takeaway from that?
Well, yeah. These things aren't cheap.
Yeah. I agree. Like, don't propose on a bridge. Probably a good idea. Congratulations to Jordan Love and his girlfriend, now fiance, Ronica, on their engagement. Hopefully our next congratulations for Jordan Love is on a big contract extension with the Green Bay
Packers. That's going to happen, yep. I feel pretty good about it. I think that Yeah, you wonder. There's a lot of questions financially that people could have too about how that all shakes itself out. With you know, does that mean he knows that he's going to get paid? Yeah, I think got a hunch he has a pretty good feeling.
Enjoy Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals
when
tonight,
is that?
Taos. That's
no,
tonight.
No, we're not going to do it tonight. Let's wait a couple more days.
No,
let's just
let
this
tonight.
Go. No, there's
7 o'clock.
I think Below Deck Med is on tonight. You don't want to compete with that.
Thanks to Jason Wilde for taking time of his staycation to join us today. Also, thanks to Riley Yauch stepping in as our cousin sub of the day. He'll be back again tomorrow, as will we. As Jason always says, have a great day. Take care. Be good.